You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
Good evening to everyone. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to stand on behalf of your pastor, Pastor Mark. And I was just, it's part of my job to go around. I preach in the morning in the Ortigas church that we have there. And then in the evening, I go around, visit our churches across Metro Manila. And I was wondering, maybe I should visit Metro East. And I was in the parking lot waiting for the time. And so I decided to come and visit. So you'll see me once in a while at the back, seated somewhere. So I'm going to be doing that on a regular basis because I know the Lord has been moving so great in this part of our city that I'll be willing to come. And I talked to our apostolic team and says, I'd like to give some of my time helping out in whatever the Lord is doing in this part of the city. And I'm glad to be here. If this is your first time, welcome. Also, we are starting a new series called Love Different. And there's no better person who can preach that but Pastor Mark. But he'll be preaching next week. All right. So no worries. But Love Different. This is our way as pastors and ministers across Metro Manila here in Victory to give us a different perspective of love rather than rather than adapting the mindsets that we have out there in our culture. And we have this at least 3 weeks of trying to define some of the terms being used out there. For example, love at first sight. We're going to talk about that tonight. Next week, there's another one that says, follow your heart, okay? Follow your heart. And then a week after that is worst. Love is blind. Okay, so that's going to be for the next 3 Sundays. A love for you guys, whether you're married, single, student. This is a great time for us to get acquainted and see the different perspective of love using the scriptures as our basis and as our standard. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Now, our focus tonight is on the area of love us at first sight. Love at first sight. Now, once again, I'd like to ask, who among you here are married? Please raise your hands. You're married. Happily married. Some of you, you're not raising your hands. Okay, great. You know, that's exciting. This is amazing. This is God's heart. Marriage is not man's invention. It is God's invention. So it's something that we are in and participating in, and it's quite an opportunity. Now, how many single people we have, including students? Raise your hands. Come on now. All right. I just want to let you know that okay lang maging single sa Valentine's. Come on now. Okay lang maging single sa Valentine's. You know, you don't have to feel insecure about it. You can be secure and excited and face Valentine's with a smile on your face because God is good. He is good to us, and He is concerned about us. He's so concerned that He has not only given us eternal life, He loves us so much that He's also concerned about your future mate. Yes, God is concerned even about your future mate. Now, should... You know, I'm talking about God's purpose here right now. We're going to talk about that even more. But I'd like us to know that the ultimate status in life is not necessarily marriage. There are people who are called of God to be single forever. Please don't raise your hands if you're called of God to be single forever. Maybe it's somebody you know who are not here today, okay? But there are people who have that calling. And what can we, you know, don't tell me they're second-rate type of people. I don't think so. It depends on God's purpose in their lives. Now, I think most of you, if not all of you here singles, will one day have your own families and you'll have your mate and families, and so it's going to be exciting. And so therefore, we want to take this time. You know, there's a Filipino outfit, a corporation who made a study last year on made an online survey of all the 1,500 respondents to ask the question if they truly believe in love at first sight. Okay, so they found out that of all these people, according to this survey, they found out that only more than half, 31.5% of Filipinos believe in love at first sight. And that's according to the survey of 1,500 people surveyed done via internet last year. And 54.6 say they have not just believe it, but actually experience it. 54.6%. They've experienced it. Now, I understand some of you here married people, you've come to know your spouse because when the moment you've laid your eyes on her, you realize she must be the one, right? And probably some of you are like that and you had that experience. I think I had that experience when I laid my eyes on Aunt Judy. I thought she's the one, you know. And true enough, I've never proposed to anyone but her in my entire life. Because I knew, but is it really the standard that love at first sight should be the standard? Is it really something? Now, there are other another group of people who made a study to try to attack this idea that is it really true that there's such a thing as love at first sight? In fact, Pastor Winston had this yellow, maybe you can click that. Do you believe in love at first sight or should I walk by again? It's more of a pickup line, I think. Talking to a girl and, you know, hi, excuse me, do you believe in love at first sight? Well, it depends. Or should you want me to walk by again? Oh, really? But this other group of people made a study and this says love at first sight is actually rare. Only 11% says that this had happened to them. But this is very rare, and the participants really, you know, it's rare. It, you know, imagine this, you know, just a split second seduction, and you're caught forever. Really? So they try to debunk that and say it's only 11%. In fact, 33% of the people that they have surveyed said that they fell in love gradually. Say gradually. That they had experienced love and they grew and started growing gradually in that love. Are you here with me? And so that's amazing. Now, but some of us, we think that, but what can I do, Pastor? That was love at first sight. Maybe it must have been not love at first sight. Maybe it lust at first sight. You know what I mean? Or if not lust at first sight, what about attraction at first sight? Now, there's nothing wrong with attraction. You have to define love in order for you to justify, you know, the sayings that we believe in nowadays. I have a daughter who is now 20 years old. She used to be a baby, but now she's 20. But anyway, she's 20. And growing up, we would teach her. Me and my wife would teach her because she would hear classmates and friends talk about crush. C-H-R-U-S-H. Crush. How do you spell that? C-R-U-S-H. Crush. Not crush as in bump the car. You know, that's different. Crush. It says, but you know what crush means, right? You meet somebody, say, oh, I love him. I feel goosebumps all over the place. And then you try to stalk the person. You've been watching his Facebook account for 24 and a half hours. Crazy. Stalker. But I had a crush on her. No, you're a stalker. But crush is more of an emotional lust where you covet on somebody and you attach emotion with it to the point that you become almost like semi-stalker. Are you here? You know, not much, but semi. So I have to define to my daughter, Elizabeth, God has given you two eyes to appreciate beauty. When you see somebody walk along and you see that the person is pretty, then you say, wow, good looking person. Now, if you see a guy who kind of resembles the handsomeness of your dad, then, you know, you know what I mean, right? And there, you know, and you see this guy, wow, tall, dark, and darker. And when you see that, Elizabeth, you can't help but, you know, appreciate beauty. So we've taught our daughter how to define things and not try to suppress an emotion and put it under the bushel or under the rag. For her to define things. And so when she says some things, oh, that guy is handsome, good looking. But there's nothing in it. There's no emotional attachment to it because God has given her eyes to appreciate beauty. Hello? Now, if you're married, let me tell you this. Your standard of beauty is your spouse. If you want to know, but Pastor, my wife is, that is your standard of beauty. Come on now. There's nothing like Judy Peña Cabiling in the world. She's the most beautiful woman in the world for me. Are you here with me? Husbands, hello. It's Valentine's. And so to those of you who are single, you got to define your words, your emotions, so that you're free. You're freed from any baggages that the world would try to throw at you. Sometimes we try to relate with the movies that we watch. We try to relate with the standards of Hollywood. And we watch movies and we get mesmerized and we cry in the movie because the guy, whatever, died and the girl started waiting and waiting. Then suddenly the guy got resurrected. I don't know what kind of movie that is, but, you know. Ghost during Pastor Mark's time, but I want you to understand that Hollywood is not our standard. And when we watch movies, feel good movies, we think, oh, my relationship should be like that. Let me tell you, that was a movie. It wasn't for real. In fact, they took so much time, and the director, sometimes if he didn't like the scene, the director says, cut. In real life, there is no cut. So if you feel like the movie is kind of beyond the normal, walk out. It's not worth your money. In fact, some of the movies that we watch, it's almost like, allow me to use the term, it's almost like an emotional pornography. If you think that there's such a thing as pornography for men, there's such a thing as emotional pornography in Hollywood. We get so addicted to it, and then now we compare our relationships with Hollywood movies. I'm telling you right now, it's not for real. This is real right now, right here. This is real. Sorry, I'm taken. Real as you can get. No cut, no director's cut. It's God's purpose, and it's very important, and it's beautiful in God's time. Are you here with me? Are you ready for the word? Yes. We've not read our text yet. It's just my introduction. Amazing. You know, for example, Katy Perry, for example, marrying, you know, Russell Brand, you know, for 14 months of marriage. 14 months! After 14 months, they got divorced. What's the reason? Russell Brand actually is a Buddhist. In the last 14 months, he didn't do anything but persecute the parents of Katy Perry because Katy Perry's parents were evangelicals. Bible-based, Bible believers. And so here Russell Brand would persecute his newly married wife for months. But she couldn't take it anymore. So they got divorced. Now the parents is trying to hook up Katy Perry with Tim Tebow. Now, that's another thing we can talk about. Now, on the other side of the news, Kim Kardashian. You know Kim? Some of you, who is she? Well, she's the girl who married Humphrey's guy of New Jersey Nets, who is, I think, as tall as Goliath. Kim Kardashian is up to here. And so they got married. I don't know how they did that. You may now kiss the bride, you know? I mean, it was... And how long you think they've been married? 72 days. 72 days. So because of the divorce, Kim Kardashian's career started falling down. To rescue her career, they have to look around who is the most, you know, available bachelor out there who has all the money in the world, who has all the attention of the world, and there's no other guy but our man, Tim Tebow. I like Tim Tebow because he was born in the Philippines. I like Tim Tebow because he was born in Makati Med and raised up in Faith Academy. And his parents were missionaries to Mindanao. You know, you don't know Tim Tebow. Some of you are wondering, why is the pastor aware of all of this? It's because I get to read too, you know. And because they're all connected to Tim Tebow, our guy. And so, you see all these marriages. Because it's all based on personal gain. Because if you study deeper, love at first sight has something to do with self-centeredness. It's about me. It's about, yes, it's love at first sight. I want to marry you, mama. Because if I marry you, when I walk down the mall of Metro East, you'll be like my trophy wife and you fulfill my insecurities. And people will look at me and say, what a guy. It's all about me. And I'm using you to fill it up. Love at first sight, Kajan. And so that is the picture. That is the standards that we see in our culture. But I say to us today, you don't have to have Mills and Boons. You know, that's the kind of book women would read during Pastor Mark's days. But nowadays, I don't know what women would read now. And then they have movies and so on and so forth. But let me tell you this. There is one romantic narrative story in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 24 that we've got to visit. It's Valentine's anyway. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. We'll be reading a few verses and then we'll read the last two verses, 67 later. But now let's read verse 1 to 2. Abraham, let's all stand as we read God's word together this evening. Abraham was now old. Are you there with me? We're using NIV, New International Version. Or necessary in victory. Verse 1, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years. And the Lord had blessed him in every way. Who among you want to be blessed in every way? Raise your hands. That's it. I'm in the right place. Verse 2 says, and he said to the chief servant in his household and the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. Don't let me explain that. Okay, just imagine. I want you to swear by the Lord and God of heaven and the God of the earth and that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I'm living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son, Isaac. Let's go to same chapter, last two verses, 66, 67. Then the servant told Isaac all that he had done. Isaac brought her to Isaac into the, Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca. Okay, look at the sequence. Married Rebecca, and she became his wife. Obviously, after marriage, she become your? Now, nowadays, they become their wife first before marriage. Something wrong with the picture. But anyways, the Bible says God married, had a wife, and this is amazing. It says, and he loved her. Wow. What a contrast with love at first sight. This love grew. And then says, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let's all pray. Father God, today, thank you, Lord, for this amazing romantic story from the Old Testament written by Moses himself. May we learn from this compared to just getting and consuming everything we see from the news and from Hollywood. We want to consume what you have for us, especially tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say a big, big amen, amen and amen. Go ahead and take your seats. Verse 1 is a powerful thing I'd like you to see. It says in verse 1, let's go back there to verse 1. It says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. This verse could be turned around. This verse could be put under the bushel. This verse can be put under the rug, and it won't result to anything good if his son won't get a wife. Are you here with me? If the son won't get a wife, then if the son won't get a wife, then verse 1 won't happen. He won't be blessed in every way. Imagine your wife, all the blessings of Abraham, the Lord has given him, they're not going to come to pass if Isaac won't get married, because there will be no descendants. The blessings will be cut off. It won't continue on. There will be no Judah. There will be no Israel. Right there in verse 1, we're being set up for what's about to happen. It's going to be, there's almost like there's a tension that's about to happen. He's blessed in every way, but really. And so therefore, in verse 2, he called on his servant. He was named in Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, remember when Abraham was asking the Lord for a son and says, he's told the Lord, Lord, you know, I don't have a son, and the one who will inherit all my inheritance will be my chief servant, whose name is Eleazar. The Lord responded and says, it's not going to happen. You're going to have your own child. True enough, so Isaac came forth, but the Lord wasn't done yet. The Lord says, okay, I want you to sacrifice your son on the top of that mountain. Abraham thought, Lord, if I'm going to sacrifice means kill. If I'm going to sacrifice my son on top of the mountain for you, I know that if he dies, you're going to resurrect him from the dead. In other words, Abraham had already the notion of the resurrection, even in his mind. So he went in faith. Resurrection has never happened in the past, but in his mind, God is well able to provide. If God can provide to an old man like him with a wife whose womb is already as good as dead and yet provide a child, he can surely raise a person from the dead. So he moved on in faith. Genesis chapter 22 became so well known not only among Christians, but even among the Jews. Powerful, powerful passage of scripture. Now we're faced with chapter 24. Now, how many of you here believe that you're grateful that the Lord has given you eternal life? Raise your hands. You're grateful that when you die, you'll spend eternity in heaven. Come on, raise your hands. Now, if that's the case, how many of you here, if he could provide eternal life for you, how many of you here believe that he can surely provide a mate for you if you're single? Come on now. But Pastor, I'm already 16. I'm still single. 1-6? And you're worried? No, Pastor, I'm already 46 and a half. Well, it's not about... Will you tell us what's the ideal age for a person to get married? It depends. Say it depends. You can't pin. We can't dictate from Victory and says you should get married at the age of 25. I don't think so. It depends on God's call in your life. Yep. We're going to talk more as we move on. And so now, in order for us to have a great understanding of what love is, what marriage is, and what relationship is all about, I'd like us to look at this passage of scripture and this narrative so that we can enjoy and reflect it and see it in light of love at first sight. There are 6 words I'd like you to remember. Number 1, conviction. Now it says here, Abraham talked to the servant and says, 2 things I'd like you to remember. Number 1, you are not going to get a wife for my son from this land. not from this land. Why? Because Joshua 24 verse 2 and 16 says that the people of this land worship other gods. And I don't want my son and his children and his posterity to end up worshiping the gods of the people we're trying to reach. We are missionaries here. It cannot be. You should get someone from my relatives. You travel. Now, should you go to my relatives and you found a girl, but the girl doesn't want to join you to come and bring her here, then you are released. Because I don't want you coming back here to take my son back to the land where I came from. Because that is not the land the Lord has promised us. This is the land that the Lord has promised us. And I don't want you taking my son away from this land. And so it was clear to the servant. So the servant went with only two things in mind. Not do shortcuts. Get one of those beautiful girls. They were beautiful. Canaanites girls were beautiful. Rich. Tall. Long-legged. Beautiful women in Canaanite. And yet the servant says, you don't do shortcuts. Go travel and get a wife for my son. So he did. There was conviction. Do you have conviction? Do you have faith convictions? Now, when I wasn't a Christian yet, I had already some conviction, at least from my end. I came from the province. My parents sacrificed in sending me to college. So I made my own personal conviction, agreed with my father. And he says that you don't get in a relationship, have a girlfriend when you are in college. You can do that after graduation. And I let you, but don't do that while you're in college. I said, great, no problem with me. So I was able to kind of evade some of the temptations when I was in college because I made that standard that I'm not going to be in a relationship. My friends would have girlfriends left and right, except me. Some people would say, are you a gay? No. I just made a decision in college. I wasn't a Christian yet. But because I love my parents, so when during my graduation, I talked to my father on our way to PICC when I graduated civil engineering. On my way to the graduation day, I talked to my father and said, oh, by the way, I'm getting married also. My father talked to me in Tagalog and says, tinanggalan mo ko ng tinik, tapos ngayon papalitan mo na pako. For those of you who are foreigners, nails. Pako. Okay, but anyways, it was amazing. And now that I became a Christian, all the more that I've realized the importance of convictions. So conviction is tell me, what is God's calling for your life? Because your God's calling in your life will dictate your conviction. And you don't want to compromise. I don't have to tell you who to marry or who not to marry. Hello? God is giving you brains, remember? I'm not going to dictate on you. Who do you want to marry? As long as you don't marry somebody who is like you. They call that same-sex marriage. Please. But the point is, you got to have conviction. You make your own conviction. Tim Tebow, who had all the money in the world and all the attention and the accolades and the women throwing themselves at him and every corner, nook and cranny and every hotel lobby, women would come and throw themselves at him. And yet, he kept himself a virgin. Yep. Even at this moment right now, he kept himself a virgin. That's why I like the guy. That's why Kim Kardashian like him. That's why all the girls would like to sleep with him. Because he is preserving himself for the right person. How many of you know people still exist today like that? Come on now. And they should visit Metro East because there are a lot of those here. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on now. It's quiet in here. You should say, yes. But the point is conviction. Number two, faith. Verse 7 speaks about, you know, the Lord is going to send an angel to make sure that this is going to be a success. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants, I give you this land. He will send his what? Angel before you. Take note of the word angel. Remind me later, because that angel is a representative of someone else. It's not just a regular angel. That must be someone else. angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. What the faith! He spoke faith because an angel is going to go before you, and he's going to make sure that the will of God will come to pass, and you're going to be successful. Faith, say faith. How many of you know getting a spouse and having your wife right now took faith? Come on now. It would require faith. Number two, that's the second word. Number two is wisdom. Number three is wisdom. Wisdom. There's conviction, there's faith, wisdom. Verse 10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left and taking with him all kinds of things and from his master. And he set out to Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. Verse 11, he had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. Where did he had the camels kneel down? Where? Near the well. Malapit daw sa well. Okay, bakit kaya doon? It was toward evening. Why evening? The time the what? Women would go out to draw water. He knew exactly. He has practical wisdom. He knew where to go. And he knew the time. Are you here with me? Now, the servant was wise. He knew where to find them. Now, you know, once again, it depends on God's purpose for your life. You got to have conviction. You have faith and wisdom. I had, you know, talking about conviction, then I'll talk more about this wisdom. I had assistants in the past. I've been in ministry for quite a while. And most of my assistants, after they get out from my office and they retire, they become suicidal. I don't know why. One of them is one of the wives of your pastors here. And Ma'an, okay? Ma'an, Pastor Mel's wife, used to be my assistant in church. And when she finished her term with me in my office, she decided to become a missionary to Afghanistan. How many of you know that's suicidal? And you have her here, one of our heroes of the faith in every nation, Ma'an. We have another one, her name is Malen. She's the first every nation Filipino woman missionary sent to the mission field. Why? Because she just decided, after finishing her term in my office, decided to go to Cambodia or Laos, of all places. Now, she was in a marrying age. And the relative keep on telling her, why are you sending yourself to mission? You are single. How can you find a husband in the mission field? How many know it makes sense? O nga naman, mag-asawa ka muna at saka ka punta ng mission field, right? But no, she says, God will provide me a husband. I'm called to the mission, so she went. Apparently, one of her supporters is a guy, a graduating medical student from Hawaii. A handsome bachelor from Hawaii, graduating medical student, loved going abroad, loved visiting places, and they met up, they made a phone call, they met up in Thailand, and to cut the story short, now they're married, they have one child. After hearing that testimony, all our single folks in Ortigas wanted to be sent to the missions. You gotta have conviction. Faith. Wisdom. You got to have wisdom. God loves us so much that he wanted to not only help us to set us up, but also, for us, that's why God has given us brain to use, you know, you want to marry a godly person? Where can you find godly people? In bars? Some of you might say, I want to marry somebody who's from church. And, you know, there are people like that outside. They want to marry somebody from church. Why don't you go to church? No, I don't want to go there, but I want to marry people from church. That's the problem. But wisdom. Number four, prayer. Then he prayed, verse 12. Say, then he prayed. Oh, Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. So he started praying. And then he said, he made a fleece, almost like a fleece. It says, verse 13, it says, see, I'm standing beside this spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. And she says, if there will be a girl, say a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink. And she says, drink and I'll water your camels too. Then Lord, let her be the one. you have chosen for your servant Isaac. What was her condition? What was his condition? That you would send a girl, offer me a drink, and my camels. Not camel, camels. Now, how, you know, do you know how many gallons of water one camel could drink? A lot. And so he made a fleece before God and says, Lord, if there's a girl who would come and offer me a drink and drink for my camels, let it be the one you've chosen for my master. So anyway, he was praying. So prayer is necessary in order for whatever God has planned for you to happen. You need to ask God, humble yourself, and don't rely on your handsomeness alone or being good looking. Ask the Lord. The Bible says, he who finds wife finds favor from the Lord. Prudent wife is from the Lord. You cannot just pick them out from the street. It is from the Lord. So you go to the Lord in prayer. And then desperation and humility and says, Lord, give me one. Give me one, Lord. It's like when I was single and I didn't have a car. I'd look at the traffic in Edsa and all the cars in Edsa and says, Lord, just give me one car. And remember, you see all the cars? And you're standing along Edsa and says, Lord, just give me one of these. Just one, Lord. How many know of all the 7 billion people in the world, the Lord has set up one person for you? Now, if you're married, it's already set up. It's next to you right now. Are you here? This is amazing. Number 5, discernment. Prayer, discernment. And before he had finished praying, verse 15, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder, and she was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother's Nahor. So in other words, it's really coming to pass. It really came from the relative of Abraham, and it's, this is God's will. And so the girl, verse 16, I like this verse 16. The girl was very what? Now, how many people, Christians, I met and says, you know what? I'm going to choose a girl for myself. I'm going to choose a mate for myself. Why? Because I would be sure that I would really like the person. Because if God would choose somebody for me, it might be somebody that I don't like. We think that God will shortcut us and shortchange us if we allow him to choose for us. How many of you here believe that God will give the desires of your heart? God is good. I could have chosen somebody else, but when I saw Judy, is this it, Lord? Lord, this is too much. And yet God gave her, and so glad. I was so glad. You know, God is not going to shortchange you. And he says, she was very, not just beautiful, very, say very beautiful. Very. Now, the next one is a virgin. Now, some of us today, we don't really know what a virgin is. To us, a virgin is a cafe or something we drink, virgin, drink, whatever. No. Virgin, let me explain. The scripture has already defined what virgin is, okay? Can we look at it? Okay, let's go. Virgin means no man had ever laid with her. Let me tell you this. You don't just marry somebody who is a Christian, because not all Christians are good marriage material. To be honest with you, you've got to have someone who is godly. Yes. Say godly. 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 Not just a Christian, but godly. Because there's Christians who are some problems. You don't want to marry those. You want to marry those who are godly, with conviction. And that's what he says. Very beautiful. Virgin, no man had ever laid on her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up again. While she was walking, guess what happened? Next verse, verse 17. The servant hurried to meet her and says, please give me a little water from your jar. And guess what happened? Then drink, my lord, she said quickly. Say quickly. Lowered the jar to her hands, and gave him a drink. Then, after she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they had finished drinking. Could you imagine her giving him a drink and then went to the well and got some water for this one camel first for 30 minutes? Then the next camel, another 15 minutes. The next camel, and she did it. And the servant was just sitting in the corner, like watching a tennis match, and says, Is this it, Lord? Is this it, Lord? Is this it, Lord? Is this it? How many of you need discernment? You just prayed about it a while ago. Now it's coming to pass. You're still asking, is this it, Lord? This is it. Some of you are still wondering. You know, I mean, you go pray and says, Lord, shanaba, 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 shanaba. What are you doing? Speaking in tongues. Shanaba, 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 shanaba. The Lord already spoke. Shanaba. Shanaba. I rebuke you. Shanaba, shanaba, shanaba. Discernment. Come on. Shanaba. Some of you are foreigners. That's it. That's the translation. Discernment. You got to have some discernment. You've been looking too far ahead. She's already there. Hello? Excuse me. I'm still dreaming, thinking. No. She's the one. But the point is, we've got discernment. We need to have discernment. And if you know if it's God's will, it will fall into right place at the right time. One good thing about this godly woman was she was not idle at home, sitting at home and says, Lord, I'm not on my marrying age and I'll just wait for Mr. Nice Guy to come and approach me. How many of you know that's not Rebecca's conviction? Rebecca says, I'm going to pursue my career. What was her career? Get water. Come on now. You don't sit there in your house and says, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to wait for Mr. Nice Guy. Mr. Nice Guy has not come along and rescue you from your predicament of idleness. You got to pursue your career. And as you pursue your career, he will come along. Come on now. Pastor Dennis came to me, our pastor in Green Hills, one time and says, Pastor Ferdy, I got a dilemma. What's your dilemma? Tammy already graduated from college and she's about to take medical pursue medicine, and that's going to be another 5 more years, and I don't think I can wait, and what should I do? I said, why don't you go ahead and mess up her life? Propose now. He did, and she said yes. If you don't have any guts to come and approach a lady to mess up her life, then you're not worth it. If you really love the guy, not the guy, the girl, I'm sorry. If you really love the girl, come on. But she's busy and she's pursuing her career. Do you really love her? You want her? Yes. Go ahead and mess up her life and propose. But she might reject me. And are you a man? Because as a man, you're born for rejection. That's why you have larger physique and shoulders. You can't man up. Bring it on. If she says no, walk away and make her feel what she missed. Walk out from the restaurant. Walk and says, thank you very much. And then walk. Why? Because you're a man. You're born for this. You're not supposed to sock and, where is mama? I'm so sad. Mommy. Mommy, mommy, kajan. Man up and says, thank you very much. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to know you. It has been quite an adventure. I'm praying that you would find a man really designed by the Lord for you. God bless you. How many of you know that's what real man is? That's real man. And you're going to walk out. Probably the girl would think back again and says, he's the guy. Excuse me. Come back here. Now she's seeing what she's going to be missing. Discernment. You got to have discernment. The last word. I know you're enjoying it, but we got to move on, okay? Let's finish the story. So now he realized this is it. So the servant approached her and says, you know, I am the servant. And he explained everything. That's why that chapter became one of the longest chapter in Genesis. Because the servant is so makulit, he kept on repeating the story over and over and over again because he was so excited about God's purpose and will. So he repeated it before her, and so she got, wow, is it true? Yes, so why don't you come to my house and let me introduce you to my family? And it's getting dark, and we have a space in the house. So they went to the house. One good thing about this is she did not go with the servant immediately back to Canaan. She decided to go and let her see this servant to her family and introduce, and they got to know each other with the family, introduce himself, and the servant again gave the story again. And the family heard about the story. Apparently the family are actually been, I believe theologians are saying, they were servants of the Yahweh. They have already been serving the God of Abraham. Apparently, Abraham probably shared to them what had happened when he was called from Mesopotamia before they left to go to Canaan. Probably they've worshipped the God that Abraham worshipped. Why? Because of the words that came out of the mouth when they released her and blessed her. And this is what the Bible says when they blessed her. Let's look at what the scripture says. The last word I'd like you to remember is guidance. After discernment, guidance. We need guidance. We're going to talk more about this the next few weeks. But the girl ran and told her mother household and all about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man and so on and so forth, and gave the family bracelets and saw the sisters on his sister's arm, and heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her. And he went out to the man and found him standing on the camels near the spring. Come, you are blessed by the Lord. And why are you standing out there? So they welcome him. They said, let's call the girl and ask her about it. They called Rebecca and asked her, we got to go. Will you go with this man? The girl says, I will go. I will go. But the parents could have said, you've never seen the guy. I will go. Because he understood God's purpose and will for her life too. She moved on. So verse 16, they blessed Rebecca and said to her, now listen to the blessing. He says, oh, sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. It sounded like the blessings of Abraham as well. Blessings of multitudes and victory. And they say this in turn, blessed her and says, may you multiply to thousands upon thousands. And may you gain victory in the gates of your enemies. What a blessing. They could have served, probably they truly worship Yahweh. And they blessed her. So they moved on. I want to challenge us. Should you find somebody, make sure that you don't elope. Elope is a form of being a coward. Because you didn't even have any guts to go and show up to the parents of the girl. You don't understand, Pastor. You know, the father of the girl is a former general. He had 3 shotguns. Well, are you a man? Yes. Do you love her? Yes. Then show up. Knock on the door and wait for that shotgun. Come on, you're a man anyway, right? Show up there and the father shows up. Yes, sir. And the dad says, why are you here? I'm just wondering, sir, if I could, may I go out, sir? No. Face up, stand up. And said, sir, I've seen your daughter, and I'm just wondering if you would give me the privilege of getting to know your beautiful and precious daughter and treat her like a princess in a restaurant that you can even send 5 guards if you want to. Because I'm going to treat her with respect. Just to let you know, sir, I have a good intention. How many know that's real man? Yeah, you can clap your hands later. And then that's it. That's the picture. And you don't elope. You show up. That's why the Filipino tradition of pamanhikan is great. It's biblical. But it should not stop from there. We move on. What happened here? Verse 66, verse 67. And Sarah brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, Isaac. brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca, so she became his wife, and he loved her. This is the contrast of love at first sight. You can see here that he loved her because he knew the purpose of God in his life. Maybe because he was really that beautiful, but nevertheless, he loved her. And I could imagine growing. He grew in that love. And he demonstrated that love, I believe, as we move on beyond the chapter. Why? Because first love should go beyond the initial split second seduction. It should go beyond demonstration. It should be demonstrated. And you should grow from there. If it is really, really first love at first sight, will it pass the test of the first fight? Do you know that husband and wife fight? Uh-huh. If it can pass the test of the first fight, then truly it's love at first sight. But the point is, it's going to be tested all the time. But make a decision. Says love is a commitment. Love is a commitment. Love is giving something in expense of self for the benefit of others. Lust is getting something in expense of others to benefit self. Because lust wants to get. Are you here with me? Yep. Love is a commitment. It's not just an impulse that you feel right now and that's it. No, it requires commitment, endurance. Look at your grandparents. Auntie, who among you here you have grandparents? They're still alive. Come on, raise your hands. Have you seen your grandfather? Now, when he was single, have you seen him? To the pictures, black and white. I mean, tall, big on here. Now, you know now, he's not big here. Now, he's big here. Your Lola used to be so beautiful. Miss Barangay Timbuktu, you know? I mean, she was so pretty, man. Now, she's just big all over the place. And yet, they're still together. How many of you know that's real love? That is, folks, that's real love. Because through thick or thin, rain or shine, they're still together. Loving each other and showing the entire descendants, this is what real love is. If we can only leave this behind as your inheritance, an example of what real love is, then our descendants are going to enjoy real life. Real love means real commitment. Why is that? Because God's purpose, not impulse, defines relationship. It's God's purpose, not impulse, defines relationship. We're not going to tell you and dictate on you who to marry, when to marry. During World War II, there was a little town in Pangasinan, World War II, and the Japanese was about to conquer that little town. And a husband and wife has a 13-year-old daughter. 13-year-old. I was asking Pastor Mark's daughter. She's 11 years old. Imagine a 13-year-old daughter. And this couple had a 13-year-old daughter. And the Japanese troops were about to come and conquer that little barrio. You know what the parents did? They knew exactly what will happen to 13-year-olds. They decided to get her marry one of the friend's neighbor's son. How did I know? I met up with one of the 17 children. He's a member of our church in Alabang. I met up and talked to him and says, oh, how many are you in the family? 17. 17? One mother, one father? Yes. And the second to the last? Wow. What happened? How old was your mom when she got married? 13 years old during World War II. Because my parents made the decision for her to marry rather than be used by the Japanese forces. Now some of you 13-year-olds who are here, don't do that to your father. And say, see, 13-year-old. But I want you to see as well, it's not World War. Are you here? So we will not dictate on what age and who should you marry, but you got to be aware and seek God of his purpose for your life, because that will define the relationship that you're going to be having in the future. I want you to remember, and that love is going to be demonstrated. That angel that says that angel is going to make you successful, that angel is actually no other than Christophany, Christ himself, who will make sure that you'll be provided for. And that angel and that love that we're talking about is that love that will be demonstrated, not just be kept at one point, but that love is going to continue to grow and be demonstrated, because real love is like the love of Christ for us that says love is being demonstrated before us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Let's all read this together. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a commitment that God had for us. I want you to bow down your heads, close your eyes. Father God, today, thank you for giving us the time to come and talk about your love for us. May you continue to work and may you continue to touch us. Lord, show us that. Give us a greater understanding of your love, Lord. Not the Hollywood kind of love. Not a feel-good kind of love. But it's the love, Lord, that you have set before us. Christ himself, that before the foundations of the world, even though we were unlovable, you have demonstrated your love for us by sending your son to die for us on our behalf. May we learn that type of love, Lord, to one another. For those who are husband and wife who are here, Lord, I pray that you bless their marriage. Lord, continue to, Lord God, Lord, stand with them in continually setting an example for that commitment kind of love that they have to one another. Continue to enhance it, Lord God. We pray for all the singles who are here. We pray, Lord, that you mature them in the way they control their emotions. Mature them, Lord God, that as they go through this life by faith, you know, they know that there's someone out there that you have prepared for them one of these days, and they're going to be together in marriage. So, Lord, I pray for that hope. I pray for that faith. I pray, Lord God, for discernment. I pray for conviction. I pray for wisdom. I pray, Lord God, for prayer, their prayer life. I pray, Lord, for them to learn guidance, learn to hear guidance from people that they respect and they honor. We pray, Lord God, that you continue to use them, speak to them, give them your wisdom. Lord, I pray also for all the single parents who are here. I pray, Lord, for the love of Christ to continue to overwhelm them, that truly you are committed, not just to those who have, Lord, complete parents, but even those who are alone in raising their children, that you are with them, that you are the husband of the widows. And we are grateful, Lord, today that you are confirming and affirming our relationships because of your purpose for us. Bless everyone who are here today, Lord, and we give you glory. Thank you, Jesus.